Chapman. Dr. Chapman, my God. Is that what this doctor means? There couldn't be that many doctors in town.
Oh.
Debtor? No. DR.
It looks like doctor, well, but you're right. What?
There are too many doctors.
Yeah, what that means.
I don't know. Well, I won't say doctor anymore. town of Salisbury.
What are the dates?
The date there is 1815. This whole book started in 1812 or 13. Another Bartlett, another church. Yeah, the doctor doesn't mean it. Brown, of course, there are many of them around. Town of Salisbury. I thought I knew more in here than I did. Here's a Sirdam. The Sirdams, I believe, came from Germany. And this is Hiram Sirdam, year of 1817.
What kinds of things are they Owen buying?
Oh, the beef, pork, potatoes, bushel of rye, or pork, bushel of rye, one fowl, wheat flour, currant, a quart of vinegar, rye, cheese, pork, tobacco. Sheffield for devotion. And then they're buying wood, a quarter of a cord, a half a cord. Now here it goes to shillings again. To horse, to go to Litchfield. To horse, to go to Stockbridge. To horse, to go to... I can't read it. It could be Litch... What is that word? I made a mistake when I said Litchfield here, I'm afraid.
No, I think it may be.
I took a pass at Litchfield, but I don't think it is. It's not long enough.
Maybe Fitch, but there's no Fitch. No, I think it's Litch.
Litch.
Yeah.
Maybe. To corn. Oh. To 12 paid holly and coffee. How about that? I don't know what they... 12 dash, I guess, is that 12 pounds? To fishing... Oh, no. Wrong. If I practiced this, I think I could get it better later on. Some of it is fascinating. Potatoes... I'm trying to pick out something different here. Butter.
Let's stop in a minute. Okay, what about this? Who are these people in the house?
This house was owned by the Joyces and their coachman in this picture, taken, I assume, around 1900.
Where's this house?
This house is up right by Sage's Ravine. And he was their coachman, and they're headed toward Salisbury in this picture. And then you have the story of all the people in this in that letter.
Who were the Pickards?
The Pickards worked as coachman for the Joyces. And the Joyces were lumber people that started in Maine and eventually worked their way in the lumber business out to the Midwest, Wisconsin and Michigan, and then I think we became quite wealthy. And one of them married, her first husband was Mr. Joyce, and her name was Peggy Hopkins Joyce, and she married 9 times.
Now, are there lots of Pickerts left in town?
I know Stan is alive, and there were about 5 boys and 4 or 5 girls. Tilly Pickert married Oliver Marston, and Oliver Marston used to be a mechanic for Dufour's Garage, and they went out to Cape Cod, and they're both alive, Oliver Marston and Tilly Pickert, is alive on Cape Cod, to the best of my knowledge.
And Gurdon?
Gurdon died here a few years ago. He was a very quiet man and quite deaf. Did you know him? And he put himself through Hotchkiss, put himself through Yale, became an engineer, and did all the stresses on the Empire State Building. The Empire State Building was designed on the top of the building to take a dirigible to load and unload passengers on top of the Empire State Building. And he had to do those stresses, and they were quite complicated. And he went to this engineering firm that built the Empire State to get a job in the Depression. And the man said that it's very, very poor time to come for try to get a job. He told Gurdon this, and as I say, Gurdon was very quiet. Gurdon said, would you follow me? The man said, yes. He walked out, and he just walked into the large, large office where all the engineers were. And they're all, a whole mass of them were over by the water cooler, and he just looked at the employee. The guy said, you're hired.
Did he have brothers and sisters?
Oh, he had about 5 brothers, I can think of right now, and about 4 sisters. And Tilly's the only one that I can remember was live with the girls. And of the boys, there's a Stanley and Bob who's still alive, I believe. And one of the Pickerts married a Kelsey, and Kelsey is now a tree surgeon. Their son is a tree surgeon here in town. That's all I can remember about them right now.
Hop Rudd, Scamp.
Okay, Hop, I went to flying school in 1934 in San Diego, and when I came back, Hop had graduated from Yale the year before. I believe he majored in anthropology. Jobs were very difficult to get, and he was employed by Edie and Grace Scovel as a yard man that year. The next year, he decided with Joe to start a children's camp for $1 a day per child. We started with 25 or 30, I guess, and eventually we got up to 70 total, and we had, I think we boarded overnight 35 at various houses, DeLima's Cabin being one, and a Feeney place up on Belgo, which had, it was it's now a doctor's house. It's next to the house that on Belgo that Clemmy Bauman used to live in. It's the next house owned by a doctor. We stuck 35 kids there. And then we went around and rounded up another 35 during the day. And I never forget John Buckley, Peterson, myself, and I'm just trying to think of another guy that I should be in there, definitely. We were counselors. And we got one spell, it rained 5 days 1 week, and the next week it turned right around and rained 4 more. And we used all the leather work, all the model airplanes, all the paintings, and if Joe would playing the piano, and Hop would drum, and Joe played Onward Christian Soldiers once more, I'd left the country. that went on until the war. And the camp was conducted of what is now on the Rudd property next to the town grove. And we had sailing, swimming, and we started out in the first camp in 1935. We had them from 9 until 1, and then when they went all day long, and with 35 kids.
Now that camp was going not as a boarding camp.
Pardon?
But that camp was going not as a boarding camp, but a day camp.
After the war, Was it? I forget. I guess it was, yeah. See, I had nothing to do with it. I was running the ski area. Mm. That's the flood of 38.
That's what I want to know about. The flood of 38.
Oh, that's right at the foot of Smith Hill where there's a restaurant. That restaurant's right here, the rocking chair, whatever.
How deep was the water?
Well, you can see it's up to the hubs, and that guy's in a boat rowing beside the road.
And what did you tell me? You took a rowboat and went?
We went on across the river, and we managed to get across Dutchess Bridge. You just barely could make it. And we took a rowboat from Ashley Falls up to Great Barrington across the fences, and all you had to raise the motor to get over the fences. But in this case, the water came up a little more than this, and I had a Roadster, Ford Roadster Model A, and I left the fan on. That was a mistake. Because a truck passed me, and his bow wave sent a large wave up towards the engine, and the fan blew it back and flooded it out. And then another truck came along and pushed us out.
A lot of damage in this area?
Quite a bit. It was mostly up in Vermont, New Hampshire, New Hampshire especially, in eastern Massachusetts. Took down millions of trees.
But not here other than heavy rain?
We had a great deal of rain. I've forgotten. I know we had 18 inches or more in 55, but in 38, there might have been more than that, I don't know. But it took down a lot of power lines. And I remember the main street in Lakeville was pretty, not quite level. It was coming down Burton Brook, couldn't go through the bridge. And the water came down Main Street and it went down Petit Street and all, but the most spectacular part of what is now the travel agency, Herrick Travel, was Abe Martin's garage. And a vast amount of the whole thing just went right through his garage and cleaned the whole thing out the back. It was only 3 or 4 inches deep, but it was very pretty and spectacular going down it. I think I have pictures somewhere. That's the day house across from what is now the telephone building near our current bank in Lakeville. That building is next to the bank.
This is now the Housatonic Daycare Center.
That is true.
Psychiatric Center.
Okay,
yeah.
Whatever. I know.
Who lived there?
The Days.
Who were they?
The only thing I can tell you about Mr. Day, there were two of them. There were two brothers. One was had raised produce, and the other one, Henry Day, was in flying. They say he was a needle off. He wasn't quite there. He was, however, I have pictures. If you go in the town hall, you will see a picture of him with Mr. Rand and Fulton, Blanchard Rand and Kent Fulton, and all the people in World War I.
Do you remember telling me about a house that A. Scoville built that burned?
Oh, yes. Oh, that house was...
Where was it?
Now, this is, as I remember, what my great-aunt told me again, my grandmother's sister. The reason I go back to my great-aunt, my grandmother was dead when I was born. She died in 1909.
Now, what was your great-aunt's name?
Angeline Pelton again. Pelton Brook and Great Barrington. That's who she married. And Mr. Pelton. And the house, a house, whether it was the first one, the second one, or I don't know, was tacked on to the north end of what is now the Under Mountain Inn, and you can see what you could see. I don't know if you still can, where it had been nailed on. I imagine if you got up there and really looked. And I was told it was taken by oxen on rollers down the Under Mountain Road about 1,000 feet and put by on the lake that my dad built. Now that was done before my dad built the lake. But during World War II, my mother and sister were sleeping at what is now the Under Mountain Inn, the old homestead. And when they woke up in the morning, it was just a little smoke going up in the air, and that house had burned down. And that, I think, was the original Scoville house. And everything in there was handmade, the locks and the latches and all. And then the grounds, to my knowledge, were never went over with a metal detector. And then Mr. Schweikert came along and bulldozed the chimney and everything down, so I don't know. But here's the picture.
Just let me ask you one thing. Yeah. The house, in your time, you said you could read a magazine in your bedroom when this house burned.
Oh, no, that was the Scoville house.
Yeah, where was that?
That is what is now Herbert Scoville's home.
Okay. Rebuilt on the ground.
Completely
top.
Rebuilt. Remember, yes. I showed that
the
was
gardens
the old.
And, yes, okay.
The gardens are still the same, of course.
Now, where did Edie live?
Edie and Grace lived on Taconic Road. As you go towards Canaan from Salisbury, you're going towards Canaan, you take Taconic Road, you know where I'm. Theirs was the first house on the left. Ollie lives there now. And she, of course, her mother was the Scoville, Ollie's mother.
How about the huge house in Taconic? It looks like a castle.
Oh,
was that ever Scoville?
That's Rob Scoville. And he married a gal from Millbrook who had been married to a Wing. I think Henry Wing's couldn't have been his mother, but it might have been. Maybe Henry. She might have been married to Henry Wing's brother. Mm. You know Henry? Mm. Great guy. Mm.
But did he build that monstrous place?
Well, he not only built it, that burned down, and in a journal, a story of the railroad, that burned down, I guess, in the 1890s. And it said that the railroad engineer, who everybody knew, it but long before my time, but I remember the name was Ahern, he had kept blowing the whistle to wake everyone up. I don't know what good it did because there's nothing they could do to put out a fire in those days. And in pictures here, I have a picture of the town hall in Salisbury. On the north end of that town hall, there was a hand-pulled pumper. And the way it pumped, people put buckets of water in the box, and then men on the side of it pumped up and down, a whole bunch of men. That after maybe having run for God knows how far with the fire engine, and then all the people have to come with the buckets, and then they have to find the water. So putting out a fire in the old days was, I guess, nearly impossible.
Everything. So they kept the fire engine, so to speak, in the side of the town hall.
It was a fire pump.
Yeah, where the war memorial ended.
Pulled by hand. And they had those in the cities, too. And here I'll show you a picture. Here we are. This is my...
Now, remember, we have to get the tape to understand this.
Mm-hmm. I can't read it upside down. I'm cooling off. That one there. That's the one I was after. Whoops, no. This is Twin Lakes, and that's a naphtha launch. That is the mountain.
Describe a naphtha launch.
They had a naphtha engine in it is all I know because that's what they used. Naphtha was a form of gas, a form of extract of petroleum. This is the lake house I was referring to. The homestead is right here, what now called the Undermountain Inn.
Now you have to remember, they can't see these pictures.
I know they can't, yeah, so yeah. I'm just telling you. Yeah. And but this is the house that burned down. Now that's quite a sizable house. And this was looks to me like a root cellar. See what I mean?
Yeah.
See that?
Yeah.
And that burned down with no one even detecting it, to the best, you know. Not somebody obviously needed.
Where, Jack, where was, you mentioned the field. Maybe it's where the Salisbury Fair was held. The Salisbury Fair,
yeah.
What field? Spur?
Spur Field, and that's down where, in back of what is now, it's between the town garage and the ski jump. And where the town garage. Yeah, about in there.
Do you know who he was, Spur?
I'm guessing, and I'm only guessing, that it might be Spur that owned the Spur hardware store, which was Charlotte Reed's grandfather. And he sold to Sid Cole and Group, Kent Fulton and so on.
I don't understand Angelina's relationship.
Angelina Scovel married Mr. Pelton. She became Angelina Pelton. Her sister, Caroline Scovel, married John Fisher the First. Another sister married Mr. Pascal. And then it gets too complicated. That's where I said I had to find 11 of them.
Mm-hmm,
scattered
mm-hmm,
all over
mm-hmm,
the place.
Mm-hmm.
Santa Barbara.
How about this?
Oh, that I just happened to find. This is an insurance rider for a permit to have for automobiles using GASOLENE. In other words, to put it in the barn, I guess. And the price of the rider is 75 cents, and it was by N.A. McNeil in Lime Rock in August the 1st, 1903. And all the rest. The vapor from one pint, it says here, of gasoline will make 200 cubic feet of air explosive. In other words, they're telling you to be careful.
Yes. Your father had one of the early cars?
Dad had a car here in 1898. It was an auto car, an open two-seater, to the best of my knowledge again. And then he had a 1902 Tiller steered Oldsmobile, 1902. Then he had a 1906 locomobile. And then he had a 1912, which I remember, a locomobile, that was a big car. We took that to Florida once, most of the way by train. I have pictures of that somewhere.
Speaking of which, how about the trains?
Oh, they were great. It beats anything now. You saw where you were going, and the food was great. And if you took a bedroom, it was fine, and of course, kids loved upper berths.
Where'd you take the trains from? Millerton only?
Take them to New York, and then you either went to Grand Central or out of Penn Station.
But you never took the train to Canaan, or?
Oddly enough, I never took it to Canaan, nor did I ever go from Canaan to Great Barrington. My dad did it many, many times. As a matter of fact, my dad knew the guys on the Harlem pretty well. Incidentally, all those, see the railroad tie?
Mm-hmm.
That's part of what's left of the Harlem Division of the New York Central. But he, on a bet, and this is when he was a young fellow, he went to Exeter, and he came home, and he went to talk to the fireman, and he fired his fireman from Millerton to Grand Central Station in a tuxedo. And that's something, he didn't tell me that, incidentally. During Prohibition, Bernie Manning said he remembered it. And Bernie Manning ran a saloon in Miller. Manning's Hop Rod would go, and we'd all go there. Baseball place, all of it. But it must have been quite a looking sight when he arrived in Grand. See, I'm not sure it was even that Grand Central Station. They moved it, but I think they, well, the train stopped, of course, up around where they transferred the engines.
Anything else you have on your mind you want to tell us?
I can't think of anything until I can see someone else.
Okay, I'll stop it. Okay.
In 1946 or 7, this is a 1947 car. I think I bought it in 1947. I know I did. I bought it in 1947.
What kind was it?
It's a TCMG. And I thought it would be great to have a racetrack around here. And Jimmy Vail thought it might be a good idea. And he owned the Landmark Gravel Company. And so we decided to start a racetrack, and that picture there, Jimmy and I, raising a lot of dust down on the what is now the infield.
How did you build the track?
Well, then he and Johnny Clark formed a corporation with other, and I went in it too, and we started a racetrack. I was living, at that time, I was in New York for a couple of years. But now it's highly successful, but they have trouble. See, at that time, you didn't race for money. There's no money involved. But like everything else, as soon as they get racing and somebody has one car, you get 10 cars the same, well, they start to hop the cars up, and everybody can keep racing them bigger and bigger and bigger, and more compression and so on. And, well, let's see, Bob Noble used to have MGs when he first Bob Noble, and so did down in Sharon, he moved to out west you know, Dr.
Fowler,
both of them. Oh, they were great. They rode like a buckboard wagon, but they were a wonderful car. That's all I can tell you about Lime Rock.
How about this whole construction business?
Oh, these pictures I got from Mrs. Pickard again, in who lives in Falls Village. And this is a steam shovel located on what's known as the Arches in East Canaan. And they're taking the dirt out of a pit and putting it at horse-drawn carts and covering the arches with dirt.
What are the arches for?
A brook goes through one, cars go through the other, and the train went over the top.
But that's not there anymore.
Oh, it's definitely there. Beautifully there.
Where do you drive through an arch?
You don't, yes you do. You drive by. You go to East Canaan, you know. You go to by the farm on the right with all the, you go by the cemetery on your left. You take the first road to the left and go up there. And that brook that comes, then when you get up in there somewhere, you take a right. And you go to the arch, oh yeah, they're there.
So they're doing this for the railroad?
Oh,
this
was one of the big projects between Hartford and Poughkeepsie. Well, actually, Millerton and then Poughkeepsie. And this is that terrific width to this, you see. This, I think they told me, is about 90 feet high. And that was all filled in across the valley. And here's a picture.
What was the line?
The line was the
Connecticut Western?
Connecticut Western, and then later the CNE, Central New England. And then later, the New Haven, and then later broke. 1927, they were in the last passage.
Anything else at the moment?
No, that's all I can think of, but if I think of any more, I'll get in touch.
Okay, great. Thank you.